Now this morning, for a few moments, we're going to talk about failing forward. You know, a lot of people fail and they go backwards. It seems as though it's irreparable in their life, and they kind of give up and they become paralyzed and they're not sure what to do, and they get stuck in this thing called failure. I believe that God's Word has something to say to all of us this morning about how do we deal with failure. And I believe with God's help, we can fail and move forward rather than going backwards. Now, with that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the Old Testament book of Joshua. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 7 in just a few moments' time. So in Joshua chapter 7, here's what you're going to discover. In chapter 7, the Bible records Israel's first military defeat, their failure. It was a humiliating time in their life as they were entering into the promised land, and now to have this failure just a moment after entering into the promised land, this failure is going to either make them or break them. And we're going to see what we can learn from this account this morning. Now, the previous chapter, chapter 6, records in detail Israel's miraculous victory over the impenetrable, huge walled city of Jericho. We all know the song, Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. We've sung it from little children on. We know the story and we know it well. It was while still savoring that victory there at Jericho, that Israel decided to march on and take the next small little village, which was called Ai. However, Ai is going to be a place where they're going to learn a tough lesson. It's going to be learned the hard way, and it's a lesson in obedience. You see, this small little village is going to defeat and demoralize the entire camp of Israel. It's going to be their first failure as they enter into the promised land. Now, in chapter 6, God gave them some very important advice. When you go in to take the city of Jericho, God declared that there are certain things that he wanted and expected of them as a result of God's mercy being shown to them in tearing down the walls of Jericho and giving them victory over Jericho. It says in verse 18 through 19 of Joshua 6, "Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction." God is declaring right up front here, this first city is going to be a city that I am going to miraculously give you victory over. And as a result of that, I want you to never forget, this was by my power, by my might, it's been by my intervention that this city has been given to you. So do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. You see, one individual in this case is going to bring down the judgment of God upon the entire camp of Israel, which was 1.5 to 2 million persons. So the Bible says, don't touch goods that are left behind. It describes what they are in verse 19. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. So as you look at the city, he said, of Jericho, and you see all the silver, all the gold, the bronze, and the iron, do not touch it. This belongs to me, God is declaring, and I want you to bring it into the treasury of the Lord. Now in verse 19, we find here God is reaffirming then the importance of what the Bible calls in the Old Testament the first fruits. God is saying in no uncertain terms, don't mess with what belongs to me. The first fruits, the first city, the first battle, the first victory, the first spoils, this city and the spoils of silver, gold, bronze, and iron, it all belongs to me. Do not touch it. And if you do touch it, it is going to bring the judgment of God, not only on the individual that steals, but upon the entire nation. So God then reaffirms here then the importance of the first fruits. There was a man by the name of Achan that chose to disobey. I want you to listen what happens next. Now we get to Joshua chapter 7, starting with verse 1. And Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of the dedicated things, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan, the Bible tells us, was the son of Carmi, the descendant of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Bethaven. And the Bible says, when they returned, they told Joshua, "There is no need for all of us to go up there." What they're saying, and this is just a small, insignificant little village. We can easily take this, no problem at all. Matter of fact, they said it won't even take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, don't make all of our people struggle to go up there. So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at the turn of events, and their courage melted away. The natural characteristics of a failure are found, I believe, very clearly here in verse 5. Look at it one more time. It says the Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. There are two things that happen when we fail. Number one, we find ourselves paralyzed with fear. We're afraid to make decisions. We're afraid to move forward. We're afraid that we're going to fail again, and so we're paralyzed with fear. And the Bible says their courage melted away. So there are two things that happen. These are natural events that happen every time we fail. No matter what category of life that failure is in, you can count on two things that will always happen. Number one, you'll be paralyzed with fear. You'll be stopped in your tracks, fearful to move forward. And secondly, your courage will melt away. You see, failure invokes some very strong feelings. Feelings that come about when we fail start out with embarrassment. Many times we're embarrassed to even show our face. That brings about a desire to dig a hole and to hide. We don't want to be seen because we know that everyone that's been observing our lives or anyone that's in the know regarding our life, they have seen this failure, and as a result of that, they just, you know, are someone we don't want to see eye to eye, face to face. So there's embarrassment. There's a desire to dig a hole and to hide. Then comes denial. And not only denial, but there comes cover up. And then it's followed by lying and deceit. And then it's casting blame on others. If they would have, and if they should have, and if they would have only done this, this would have never ended up this way. The failure, we begin to cast blame on others, and then we begin to justify our behavior. So these characteristics, these emotions, as soon as failure happens in any category of our life, we feel embarrassed, we want to hide, we have denial and want to cover up, we want to deceive and lie about it, casting blame on others if they would have only, and they should have, and if they could have, they might have, they would have, and then we begin to justify our behavior. Now, friends, I believe we've all experienced failure at one time or another in our lives. It may have been that F on that geometry test while you were in high school, or it may have been you were fired from a job, and you're released, or you're demoted, or you failed in a marriage, and you are here this morning, you say, "I can identify. I know the feeling. I know what happens when you face that moment of failure in your life." You see, the only way not to fail, I believe, is to never do anything. And anyone that attempts anything is going to find, at times in their life, moments of failure. But failure, friends, need not be fatal. You see, anyone who attempts anything in life will experience some failure along the way. And I truly believe that it is God's plan that we can fail forward, that out of our failures, we can move on to the next step. I find that most marriages that have been just coasting along, and now there's been a failure of one sort or another, meeting each other's needs, or a moral failure, or a financial failure, or something else. In those moments, there is a possibility of going back, failing backwards, and having everything dissolved that you've ever longed for, ever worked for in your life, or you can fail forward. And in failing forward, you go from that crisis moment of failure to the next step, and you begin to realize you need God, you need God's help. The marriage or in business or in any other category of life, we cannot do this thing without God. And so the only way not to fail is never to do anything. But I believe that God has a plan whereby we can fail and fail forward. I love what Zig Ziglar says about this. He says, make failure your teacher, not your undertaker. Let me run that by one more time. Make failure your teacher, not your undertaker. Let's look at a few examples of those that learned how to deal with failure and they failed forward. Some come from history, like that of Abraham Lincoln. You know, Abraham Lincoln, he failed in business in 1831. Matter of fact, there's a long litany of failures in his life. We'll only talk about a couple of them. But he failed in business in 1831. He suffered a nervous breakdown in 1836. And then it was a failed attempt at the presidency in 1856. But he kept on and he failed forward because he was elected the 16th president of the United States in 1860 and led our nation through some of the most divisive time in all of the history of the United States. He failed forward. Or if I were to look at the life of Thomas Edison, all of our lives have been deeply impacted by that which he, stuck with until he had created what we call the incandescent light bulb. Not only did it light the night, it lit our buildings, not only here in America, but around the world. But this man had failure after failure after failure, thousands of times trying to perfect what we know to be the incandescent light, and it failed. But he said this, he said, I have not failed, I've just found 10,000 ways that it won't work. And friends, I want you to know, you can look at failure either from the negative and you can become paralyzed like the children of Israel and you can throw in the towel and give up, or you can fail forward. And so with each and every one of these attempts at, creating the incandescent light bulb, he realized that if he just stays with it, he will find the proper tungsten. He will find the proper, number of coils. He will find the proper voltage. He will find the proper gases to place within that bulb structure. If I just keep on keeping on, I will fail forward. And I will keep on until that time. Or what about in sports? When I was a kid growing up in school, and of course these, names, some of you in the house can identify with, others of you, you probably know little or nothing about. But when we go out to play on recess, we always wanted to be Babe Ruth. And Babe Ruth's career is an amazing career. It's almost, I believe, unparalleled with anyone else that has played baseball, because this man's entire career spans 22 different seasons. That's a long, long time. And during his career, those of you that know him, he was nicknamed the Strikeout King. He struck out 1,330 times. Yet here's what he said. Every strike brings me closer to the next home run. The next one off my bat is going to be out of the park. And so I will not be frozen with fear. I will step up to the plate and I will take my place and I will swing at that ball, because I know, though I have missed and though I have struck out 1,330 times, I know the next one could be out of the park. I will not give up and I will press forward. Or Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan is another name that we know well in our area here especially. But Michael Jordan, he missed 9,000 shots in his career on the basketball court. 300 times he played, whereby they lost an opposing team. 26 times he was trusted with the winning shot. It was in his hands. The entire game now is either going to be lost or won by his shot. And 26 times he was trusted with that opportunity, and he failed. Here's what he says. I have failed over and over in my life, and that is why I succeed. What he is saying is, I do not quit. When I find myself in a moment of failure, and if I miss a shot, I know the next one could go in, so I will not give up. I will not be paralyzed by my failures. Bill Gates is another. You know, Bill Gates, he dropped out of Harvard, and matter of fact, his life, which we know certainly became one of the great, you know, moguls of our time as far as wealth and industry. But Gates, he dropped out of Harvard, and he failed at one of his very early business ventures. But here's what he said, and I love it. He said, I failed my exam in some subjects, but my friend passed. Now he's an engineer at Microsoft, and I'm the owner. Don't you like that? I failed, you know, some of my subjects, the engineer, but I'm the owner. What about Walt Disney? I think we've all, you know, we've seen at least Mickey Mouse if we've not been on the grounds of the Disney places around the nation, around the world. And he was a school dropout. Matter of fact, he dropped out of school saying, I don't need this education stuff. I'm going to go into the Army. And so he went and he applied for the Army, and the Army didn't want him. So he went back to Plan B, which was to start a studio, and that studio went bankrupt. Then he became a newspaper reporter in Missouri. And they fired him, get this, not having enough creative juices. Otherwise, not being creative enough. So they fired him. Yet I think we'd all agree this morning that Walt Disney failed forward and did rather well. Now let's talk about the mindset. What is the difference between someone that fails backwards and someone that fails forward? Let's put up on the screen here for these friends just kind of a list. So on the left side up here on the front here, it's the failing backwards. Let's look at them one at a time. So we've got the failing backwards. That person, as soon as they fail, they're always pointing the finger and saying, you could have, you should have, you messed it up for me, you stood in my way. Their failure is always blamed on someone else. That is a person that when they fail backwards. Whereas the person that is failing frontwards takes responsibility. They own it. This failure, I will not blame on my wife. I will not blame it on my husband. I will not blame it on another employee. I will not blame it on the CEO or the CFO. I will not blame it on anyone else. I will own up to my own role in this. Failing backwards is repeating the same mistake. Over and over and over again, someone has said, and I'm not sure who to credit it to, but they said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. And so failing backwards is that repeating the same mistake. If you put your hand on a hot, you know, stove, and you come back and, you know, you realize you burned your hand badly in the past, and you see it's red hot again, you put it out there, that's the failing backwards, repeating the same mistake over and over and over. Whereas in failing forward, They learn from each mistake. That is why Edison said, I found 10,000 ways that it won't work. He did not go back and try to repeat the same experiment using the same materials and the same gases and the same voltage and all of this. He learned every time there was a failure. And so it is with some of these great sportsmen. These individuals that have been on the baseball field or the basketball court or on football or any of these, they learn from their mistakes. And even in a game, they learn how to compensate. If the football is being blown aside because of the winds in the park, they begin to compensate. They do not make the same mistake twice. And then, failing backwards, expecting to never fail again. That this will never, ever happen to me again. Not in any category of life. I will never fail. Whereas, failing forward, they know, and knowing that failure is a part of the progress. That if you try nothing, if you live your life out so safe and so secure, and you never try anything new, then possibly you will find the only failure is the failure of ever really going into new territory and enjoying new things in your life. But knowing failure is a part of progress, rather than getting all bummed out about it, whether it be the president, Lincoln, he realized that with these particular failures in my life, they are going to press me on. We're going to go forward. And then expecting to continually fail, it becomes a mindset. For some, it becomes, I am a failure. And they expect everything I do is going to just fail. I'm a failure in life. And they brand themselves as a failure. Whereas the individual that fails forward maintains a positive attitude. This may not have turned out the way that I like. This may not be the situation that I really was looking for, but I believe the best is yet to come. They maintain a positive attitude. And then failing backwards is being limited by past mistakes. Whatever's happened in the past, they look at that and it limits their mind, their concept of growth for the future. Whereas failing forward, they're taking new risks. I'm not going to just be paralyzed. Remember what happened to the children of Israel. As soon as they failed in that very first battle there at Ai, they became paralyzed, the Bible said, with fear. And they were unable to move. They were unable to make decisions. They were unable, and they had to get, a come to Jesus moment before any of this gets straightened out, and we'll get there in a few moments' time. But thinking I'm a failure comes from failing backwards. I am a failure, rather than believing that something didn't work. Now, when you look at that list, I think there's a lot of things going through our minds. Some of it is about ourselves, and maybe about someone else that we work with, or someone in our family or our relationships. They think I'm a failure, and they brand themselves. And then the others are believing that something didn't work. It's an event, and we're going to do the event differently. And because we do the event differently, we're hoping for and praying for a better outcome. And then failing backwards, they do what at the very end? They quit. They give up. They throw in the towel. They're paralyzed. Whereas, failing forward, they're persevering. So whether you look at Bill Gates, or whether you look at Henry Ford, whether you look at presidents, whether it's Lincoln or any other president, most all had to persevere. They lost many different races before they ever got to where they're at. But they decided that this was an event. They're not the failure. An event may not have gone the way they wanted, or the outcome was not what they were looking for, but they are going to persevere. They're going to go forward. Friend, I believe that what the enemy wants you to do at every step along the way, he wants you to give in, to give up. But I believe that there are times when God allows failure, and he allows failure in our lives for our good so that he can redirect our lives. You see, the taking of the city of Jericho, it was a supernatural event. It is an interesting thing. Here's what historians tell us and what archaeologists tell us. The walls of the city of Jericho, they did not crumble or fall down like we would take a wall and you have all this, you know, mess left all over the ground. But rather, most of them say that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, just pushed those walls. And these walls were wide enough for chariot races to take place on top of the walls of Jericho. So it's no small little city. And they are massive walls. And God literally took those walls and just shoved them down like you'd run an elevator right flat with the ground. And so, when they go to Ai, they thought, you know, this is so simple. We can do this thing. We don't need God. We don't need God's help. We don't need many people. I mean, look what just happened. I mean, we're the man. And they went and they were defeated. And out of that defeat and out of that failure, the whole camp of Israel is now reassessing their future. And in some, they're wondering already, should we have gone back? Moses, while he was still here with us, we should have gone back. It would have been better to die in bondage in Egypt than to die out here on the wilderness. And so they have all of these complaints against God and all these complaints against God's man. Friends, God will not be taken for granted. The walls of Jericho was a divine and it was a supernatural event. God brought those walls down. God gave them the city. And God will not be taken for granted. Now, the Bible is literally filled with lives that were redirected because of their failures. Let me just list five of them for you real quick-like. Number one, I believe that we can list David. You know, David is that guy that's, you know, he's a nutcase in many ways. But, you know, I've come to realize that's all God has to work with. Whether you look at Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Jonah, look at the 12 disciples, look at any, and then look in the mirror when you go home. And all that God has is just mere human beings that, you know, are prone to mess up and to failure. But I believe that we can learn something from each one of these five real quickly. Number one, with David. I believe the lesson that we can learn, as messed up as he was, and as messed up as he made his marriage, and as messed up as his kids became because of his deception, of his lying, and the murder of Uriah, and all this mess you read about in the life of David, I believe that we can learn here from him that when we have sinned and recognize it, and we repent. The Bible says, where sin abounds, the grace of God doth much more abound. And so rather than just hunkering down, being paralyzed, and not being able to move forward because we have failed, we, like David, recognize that where sin abounds, God's grace is greater. And he will forgive, and he will cleanse from all unrighteousness, the Bible says, if we will confess our sin. And so how do you go forward? You confess your sin and realize that God is a God of new beginnings. I am so glad that God is the God that gives us a new day, a new start, a new name, a new future, a new hope, a new plan. God is the God of new. Elijah would be another. Elijah is the individual that you find, you know, he's got the miraculous happening in his life. There's fire and the earth is shaking and there's wind and there's all kinds of, you know, miraculous events. But you'll also find that Elijah, he pushes himself. He pushes himself so hard that after his encounter with the prophets of Baal, after that encounter, you find he has what we would call an emotional breakdown. And the lesson I believe that we can learn from this man that pushed himself so hard, burnout is only permanent if you allow it to be. Some of you, you've pushed beyond your natural abilities. You've pushed so hard for so long. We say burning the candle at both ends. We talk about, you know, pushing ourselves to the edge. We talk about all of these things. If that is you today, I want you to know burnout is only permanent if you allow it to be. he sprung back and God gave him a miraculous number of years in life to be a blessing to others. Or what about John Mark's desertion? You know, you read about his desertion. Paul and Barnabas were going out on a missionary journey, and along the way, John Mark just said, I'm done with this. I don't want any more of this missionary stuff. And he is in his youth. He's immature. And so he abandons Paul and Barnabas, and he takes off on his own. But here's what we can learn from his failure. We all develop gradually. None of us are a completed work this morning. And if you consider yourself to be completed, then you're not sure what you're supposed to be. Because the Bible says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him. And in that moment, and only in that moment, will we be a completed work. The Apostle Paul, he says of his own life, he says, not that I have achieved, he said, but rather I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He understood he was not a completed work yet. So God is at work inside of us. And that work was at work inside of this young man called John Mark. And as John Mark, in that moment of frustration, he throws in the towel. He said, I'm not cut out for this. And he takes off. But I'm here to tell you this morning that failure isn't always a sign that we can't cut it. I believe that when he came back strong. Matter of fact, how many of you have ever read the book of Mark? Let me see your hands. Gospel of Mark. That's where it comes from. This man that once failed. Matter of fact, this man went off on missionary journeys of his own and impacted major parts of the world for God. And so I want you to understand this morning, you may feel like John Mark. You've been young and you made some stupid mistakes, mistakes that you can't seem to be able to separate yourself from. I'm here to tell you this morning, we can learn from him, and that is we all develop gradually. God is at work within us, and I'm so glad to know we're not everything we could be, not everything we should be, but thank God we're not what we used to be. Amen, church? God is at work inside of us. And then, if you look at the life of Paul, Paul's history, we know him as the Apostle Paul. He gives to us 2/3 of the New Testament, but this man loved to make havoc of the church. He believed in getting rid of Christians was doing God a favor. This man was messed up. He was mean-spirited. He was bloodthirsty. And he, if he had his way, would have eradicated every Christian off the land. But God had a different plan for his life. Friends, I want you to know our past is forgiven and our future has a purpose. This man that once spent his life fighting God, fighting the church of Jesus Christ and the people of the Lord Jesus Christ became one of us. And he gave himself for the cause of taking the gospel around the world. And then think of Peter. Peter's denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, not on one occasion, but on 3 times. We all know that. But what is interesting there, and we've all read that account, in that account, you'll discover that just as he had denied the Lord 3 times, Jesus gave him 3 opportunities to make things right once again. And he says, I'm going back to fishing. I'm not cut out. I have failed the Lord. I've denied him before this young lady there, you know, in the courtyards outside where the court was taking place and Jesus was being tried. I'm not cut out for this thing. And he said, I'm going to go back to what I know the best. Paralyzed. I can't move forward. I'm going to just go back and do what I've always done, what I know best. I'm going to go back to commercial fishing on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus said to him, don't go back. Let's go forward. I want you to feed my lambs, feed my sheep. I want you to be one of mine, your chosen vessel for such a time. See, when you fail and you find yourself churning with emotion, I believe that God wants you to remember several things. Number one, you may have failed, but you are not a failure. You may have failed. Your plans, your dreams, your hopes, everything you long for, it may have failed, or a portion of it. Something did not go the way you expected. You may have failed. But you are not a failure. You see, failure is an event. Failure is never a person. Oh, do we have a responsibility? We already talked about that. We had the chart up. We don't cast away blame. We take responsibility. We own up to our part. We repent when we need to repent. And we get up and we get moving again for God. You see, failure is written in pencil. It can be erased through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to consider with me for just a moment your last failure. Think about it with me. Well, for that matter, any failure at all in your life, you won't have to look very far. Just think for a moment of the last failure. Now, I want you to just kind of step back. I want you to picture it. I want you to see where it's at. I want you to kind of step back for a moment. And I want you to ask the question, why did that happen? Why did that happen? Secondly, what did I learn? Thirdly, how will I be different in the future because of that past failure? Never waste a failure. And I believe that God is the God of new beginnings and new starts.